Hi, everybody. I'm Wendy Murdoch, and this is Webinars with Wendy. This is webinar number 256, if you can believe that. We've been bringing you these webinars for almost 2 years, and we're bringing you one of our favorite guests. They've probably done more webinars with me than anybody, and that's Sharon and Laura Wilsey. Welcome, Sharon and Laura. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you very much. Of course. It's a
really chilly day. You guys are in Vermont. What's the temperature there?
It's above freezing.
Okay.
Actually look directly, it's supposed to be about 37
because you got that wicked cold snap that came through.
Yes, it's coming back in the next couple days too.
Yeah, a couple of my roosters got frostbite on their ground. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's funny because the frostbite's in the middle, so the top is pink, the bottom is pink, and then the middle is like blackish blue. So they're
embracing a skunk.
I'm not sure what to do about it. So I'm just kind of keeping an eye on
them. Yeah, just keep an eye on them. Winter's tough, but it means that we're all inside and we've got a ton of people on today. And it's really exciting to have so many people checking in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Virginia. So just give everybody just a brief little intro about Horsepeak, just in case we have people that don't know what Horsepeak is, and then we will get right onto it.
Okay, so
I'm Laura Wilsey. That's Sharon. It's in case you didn't know the difference between the two Wilseys.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell them what Horsepeak is?
Would you like to?
Well, by definition,
be my guess.
Well, basically, Horsepeak is a language system of the horse. And so it's based on many years of observation. And so what Sharon, who is the primary researcher out of the gate with this project, has been able to decode how horses communicate with each other through gestures, postures, and signals of their head, neck, shoulders, tails, their entire body is talking, and how we can actually imitate their body language with gestures, postures, and signals with our vertical being. So we're using hand gestures, we're using our shoulders, and we're just be able to modulate through actually talking with our hands, like if we're giving gestures as we're talking in a platform like right now, versus putting your hands away. And that actually, even just in verbal communication, is a little bit freaky because, like, what are my hands going to do next? So, you know, keeping our hands available when talking with horses and hanging out with them helps to communicate as well as to define the bubble of personal space. So that's just a little bit of this whole thing.
I am going to do a quick switch on my internet. And so I'm going to go dark for a sec because it keeps hooking up to the external and it's not nearly as good a signal. Hold right there. Okay, I should be back. Are you back? Are you guys back? Oh, come on. Can anybody hear me? It usually comes right back. You're back.
That's a good screenshot.
Yeah. I'm like, right. Why are you not coming back? You should come back. I do that all the time because I forget to check. All right, you're back. All right, so what are we going to talk about today?
Cricket.
We did not prep this webinar. We did not talk about our topic.
And that's what I was like, what are we going to talk about today earlier?
As my grandson would say.
What do the people want us to talk about? Let's throw it to them because, you know, we,
all right.
I can't think of anything
right now. We've said it.
We've said it.
It's been said.
It's all done
Wendy
now.
Wendy said it. Put the horse on the pads. It's great. I've said it. Talk to them. It's great.
All right. Well, I know that Bess Miller had some questions. So Bess, if you're out there, I don't know if Bess is out there. She had some great questions about her. She has a young pony foal. And this pony foal has terrible boundaries, like wants to be a space invader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she was asking, and then we have a good question. She was asking about what to do, how you would handle a space invader. In fact, I can probably play the little video of the space invader.
Let's do it. In the short, as you fix to, you know, pull that together, as I was saying in the Horsepeak introduction, talking with our hands and making sure that they're active in relationship to especially a space invader is what we suggest. because as soon as we put our hands away, we can be putting them away and accidentally actually inviting the horse back into our personal space. So keeping your palms up and having your pointy fingers ready to your prong hands ready to ask for the cheek, neck, or shoulder to move off is typically what is a great fix for something like this. But it'll be great to see the specifics of the video.
Yep. Okay. I've got it on my desktop. So now I'm going to screen share.
I want to say it's not a defensive action. Right. You're not like worried about, you're just saying, and still don't come in And still, so it's a constant on message for.
And this little foal, her name is Violet, and she was born and she was very twitchy and Bess, actually, we've done a webinar on her, talking about foals and Surefoot. Bess used Surefoot with her very early on, which made a huge difference to her nervous system and really helped settle her. But anyway, okay, I'm going to play this video.
She's cute.
She's cute. Very cute.
This is one of those horses where you just want to snuggle them.
Yes, and she would like to snuggle. She's like, and so Bess is just trying to tell her to stay away, but you can see that she's like, oh, is that an investigation? Should I just come in and check you out? And I hope Bess doesn't mind.
But it actually follows the hand. When the hand did this, she did a go away face.
Yep.
When the hand went down, she said, I can come back now.
So I'll play it again. And we can, because I know video doesn't play well. So there's her hand saying, go away.
Yep. Okay. Or stay there.
That's more of a pause, it's like a hold a hand.
That's like pause button.
Yeah. Okay.
Just don't come any closer.
Yeah.
And she does stop and yield her head to the side, which is appropriate. She looks like, oh, what should I do with that? And I'm sniffing. I'm greeting you. Aren't I cute?
I'm very interested in you.
There. See, I did respect.
Yes.
There. I did respect. Is that good now? And then and I think this is interesting because it's intrinsic. The human felt better, so she put her hand away, and the pony said, oh, "Yay! And I can come back."
Actually, did the person back up a step?
She may have. Yeah,
I think she did because that's another invitation.
So user error is so the horse is responding to respecting the bubble, but then she's taking any excuse to come back in.
Yeah.
So here's she did another go away face because she came closer.
It's connect. She's like, she is connecting. She's holding and then she's respecting
this
by doing,
respect
going,
right
a, doing a go away face.
Right.
In other words, Bess has it partly right here.
She's got it all right. But there's two things that she can do. One is when the pony's sniffing at her, put the knuckle on the nose very quickly, like this, quick.
Oh, wait,
not a linger.
So we can see what you're doing. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to linger because the pony might be tempted to get silly. So you just like, yes, hello. This is a quick greeting. And then come back to this, or even this is activate, like move over.
Because the palm.
This is connect.
Connection. So it's you got like a magnetic palm.
Right.
So just being there is a hold, but then also it can be asking.
So getting ready to have more of a don't. Come in, like this is like stay, dog, stay, right? And so the pony stayed, and then she yielded her head, which is a sign of respect. And then when the camera person put the hand down, because intrinsically you feel it when they say, "Okay, I yield the space to you," and so she didn't feel the need to keep her hand up anymore. But to the horse, that's the other. This is X. This is O. O means come on in.
Yeah.
So the person did an accidental O, I call it. She's an accidental O-ist. Yeah. And the pony was like, I see that, I'm in. So that's what it's all about. So greeting here says, this is what you touch, not my body, not my pockets, not coming in too close to my space. You can touch me here, and then you can stay right there. And then what I would do, if you get three in a row, then I would go into her space and offer her some scratching. Usually babies like to have their fur scratched. So I would offer some polite scratching and then
slow
go
downward strokes.
Slow. Yeah. Quiet. Not like
don't
stimulating.
Scrub. Yeah.
And then go back to this and say, okay. And when you're really done for real, you bring your hand back here, back past your butt, and you go tail switch.
Your lower butt.
You just go tail swish like that, a little bit behind yourself. And that translates to them. They do the same thing when they're
done.
It's all done. Okay.
So Bess just joined us. She said she was tech illiterate. And can you explain X and O again? I have only listened, and seeing them is awesome. So she was not on the visual side of things until now.
Okay. Great. So X is a message that has different qualities to it. So if I, when I'm getting bigger, that's an X, because my feet get steady, my hands get steady. We do it organically, right? We're like stop right there, yeah. or you go there. It's directional, right? So it can be stop, it could be move, it could be change direction, right? But it's setting up a barrier, giving some instructions. And it could also be, don't come any closer. I don't need you to go away. So this is like go away, like it's a driving motion. This is like, you don't have to go away. Just don't pop my bubble. And so when the pony's seeing that, she's also trying to greet. Mm-hmm. This is what she's
searching with her muzzle.
She's right, like, she's going like that. And that's like a beckoning expression saying, but can I greet you? And that looks like this, knuckle to knuckle, knuckle to muzzle. And it's quick though, because if you linger,
she'll start.
She's going to play.
Yeah, because her muzzle's already active.
Yeah. So you just go, yep, hi, and then stay right there. And because that's already happening when the baby yields her head to the side, she's going, I respect your bobble.
And the
I respect your bobble. And then the person put her hand down, which looks like, like when we call a puppy, come here, right? If you call a dog, come here, or a baby, you know, come here, come on, pick you up. Or you see someone that you want to hug, hey, you know. So these are O messages. They're welcoming, they're nurturing. It's an invitation to come in. But with a horse like this, just putting your hands down looks O enough.
And taking a step back.
Right.
Come to me, O posture. The best practice would be is to greet and then step to one side. And in this video, looking at the horse, if we're looking head on, moving to the left would be the best place to go because there was another horse coming in on the right side.
Right.
So stepping over to the left and getting out of the front of the bubble will help also create the better bubble of personal space.
Because you're getting out of the invitation zone.
Let me play that video again so that it has a little more context.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you just do a tail swish by your butt. It's your hand just does tail swish. And that means I'm done. And you'll see horses will do that too.
So now she's got a very prehensile lip. You can see that she's already like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Right there.
Yep.
I want to greet you. I want something. I want you. I want you. I like you. I want you. Yes.
Yes.
And there she's saying, can you greet me? That see that
right
see the
there.
Nostril.
Hang on, I'll back that
trying
up.
I know find a way
right to, there. She flares her nostrils.
Yeah.
Right there. Yep. That's greeting.
So right there, put the knuckle out and greet the muzzle.
And then come back to this, because there when she leaves the hand, that's a yield. That's a go away face.
Yeah.
So she was like, I respect your bubble.
Yeah, okay. Come in over to my shoulder, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. See that shoulder is forward, the right shoulder. And when she pops her head like that, it's an invitation. It'd be like me saying, come here. Come on in. She's like, the water's fine. Come on in. The pony's cute. You can scratch it. I swear.
Yeah. And she yields again there.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And then she squares up too.
Yeah.
Like pick a side, any side you can, which is why Laura said, if you pick a side, you get over the beckoning stuff because then you can come in, you can say, all right, I'll scratch you for a minute. Then tail swish. I'm all done now because a baby like this just needs to know, when can we make contact and when is the contact over? I'm confused because you did an X and then it looked to me like you did an O, but then I got in trouble because it wasn't really an O and I can't tell because I'm a baby.
Yes.
So, and then the whole time she's like, but I like you. I want to greet you, yep. But I like you, my friend. I like you so much. So, because there's nothing aggressive in this. She's just like, come on in, come on, come closer, come close. That'll be the answer. She keeps bringing that front leg closer. And be like, you can come in. You can come in. See here. Here's a space for you. See, you can come in. You can come to my side. Look, I yielded it all the way over. You can fit. I swear you can fit.
So she's really communicating quite a lot there in terms of acknowledging, offering space.
Yes.
And so that when Bess dropped her hand, it was actually saying, come to me. And that's where the confusion lies, is that Bess didn't realize she said, come in, though. It's just, she missed that moment.
That's right. And most of us do because we think it's over. Mm-hmm. And so we put our hands down, but to them, because they didn't stop the conversation, hands down coming in is the welcome sign. So hands just going down looks like a welcome sign. Eventually they figure out what our neutral looks like. But in the beginning, horses are very confused by neutral because they think it means O.
And it's so funny, actually, that this has come up today, because I was thinking about when I was walking Dakota, our blind horse, out to her pasture. And I was like, you know, I think the biggest mistakes that people do is accidentally ask the horse to come into their personal space.
Yeah.
And whether it's on a lead rope and you're, you know, you end up pulling or doing something with the lead rope, or in a conversation like the one we just looked at, you know, it's amazing the precision that horses are reading off of us. And that is the goal of like what we're teaching with Horse Speak, is to bring you more to your conscious awareness of what your body is doing in relationship to the horse.
And then there's a couple of messages here that goes.
Yeah, I was going to read these. So I'm going to go back to where they started. So we have one question. It says, what's the most effective horse speak techniques to build courage in a horse who is overvigilant? Do I use the sentinel breath, et cetera, but she's still consistently flighty?
So that the answer to something like that is that the sentinel breath or the sentry breath is a breath that specifically means I will watch out for you. But it's only one protection message. And there's several, there's lots and lots of protection messages, and from different positions on the horse's body and about different situations. So that's only one. There'd be like, if someone said to you, I'm really afraid of elevators. And you said, well, then get into my car. And they'd be like, well, I'm not afraid of getting into your car. I'm afraid of elevators. Well, just get into the car a bunch of times. That'll be fine. And they're like, but I can see out the window, so it doesn't scare me. Yeah, but it's just like an elevator. It's squeezing. It's soft. It's not like an elevator at all. It's totally different. So it's similar to that, where it's a nice gesture, and it's important to a lot of horses. But there's so many other protection messages, and looking at that horse's role in the herd, and where do they find themselves in the herd? Some horses are middle of the herd horses. And they really need protection from the back, from the front, and from the sides. They need a set of messages. They need messages.
Sandwich is what we say.
Right. Or they need protection on a new chessboard. So they're fine in their paddock, but you bring them to a new chessboard. We say every area the horse is in is a new chessboard. It's they're problem solving. Okay, what game of chess are we playing on this? Where's the boogeyman? Where's the good corner? Where's the bad corner?
Or even every 3 to 5 steps changes the position of where a horse is relative to the entire environment.
Exactly. Changes how things look, how they smell, how they feel.
So in this case, from my perception, is that this horse, what we call in horse speak is zero, is more of an inner calm feeling in their body. So if this horse is over vigilant, then they're basically nervous about earth. And so the most we can give them messages that we can protect you with sentry, but then also using our hands as a place of connection, actually, with the buttons. And one button in particular with this horse, and this is just shooting darts in the dark, really, because it is specific to the horse, right, and also actually the human, because just like all of us communicating with verbal language, the way I communicate in an atmosphere such as this is going to be completely different than if I were like hanging out with my friends having some cocktails.
Yes.
So it's, you know, so similarly to this kind of communication with the horse, it, you know, there's a lot of variables, but you know, the jump up button is a place where horses were able to put our palm and breathe toward the jump up button
in the air,
from even 20 feet away, right, or 4 feet or the hip, and those just saying, I see that you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And then moving your hand to the hip and saying, I've got your back, and breathing and blinking and bringing a lot of relaxation into our body. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the way we can go into science, but I don't really want to personally, about nervous systems coming together and we feed off of each other and all that stuff, you know, so how can we be the role model for our horse and be like, I've got you, I'm chill, all is well. And, you know, having that kind of practice is just.
So what she's bringing up is if you're putting your palm in the air towards the jump up button, the back of the belly, that's the flank. Nothing's going to come in from the side and get you. I'm here. I got you. If you bring it up to the top of the hip from a distance, even nothing's going to get you from behind either. So I basically sandwiched you back to front and side to side. They might want you to go do both sides. So those are personal messages to the horse about their body and what they're feeling. But there's environmental messages about, as we're going from this threshold to that threshold, this threshold, they were fine. but they crossed a threshold, went into a newer environment. There's too many unknowns. Even if they're in the riding ring every day, if they've never settled about it, and there's just, it's always just a little bit, you know, you never know when they're going to freak out, then they've never been able to problem solve enough questions about that environment. And when you have a lot of, this is sciencey too, when you have a lot of other horses going into a zone and dropping possibly stress pheromones there, and this is where, you know, what is it called? I wish PJ was here. She'd say the exact terminology for the scent phytochemicals. No.
There's a name.
But anyway, when they are,
look
when
it up on Google.
They might do a stress poop. They might be sweaty and that stress smell, that either way, the smell is there. So horses come onto there and they go, oh, the last horse who was here was stressed. Why were they stressed? Was there a tiger? Like that's how they.
And like we've watched on the club, we have watched people lunging a horse in particular, where they're fine in the front part of the pen, and then they get to the backside and the horse is like, oh my gosh, and struggles big time. It's like night and day. It's like cut in half this arena. Right. And so the environmental challenges are really-
Pheromones, yes, Carol, but there's a word for the- There's some stupid word that I can't
not
think
cortisol,
of right
now. There's no, like a name.
Some smell word.
Yeah, so.
But what we're saying is, what we do in horse speak is we break these things down to chunks. And we say, let's sample, it's like a box of chocolates. Let's go through and we're going to sample messages to the horse. And there's a system to it. It's very systematized. It's very pattern oriented and pattern recognition, because the patterns are so repeatable that horses do, that it's not long before you're like, oh yeah, there's that pattern. And this is what I do with that pattern. And then the horse goes, yeah, why didn't you do it 3 weeks ago? And you're like, I didn't know about 3 weeks ago. And then they're like, okay, well, we're better now. So it's really like that. And we chunk these things down to small pieces and you figure out in your box of chocolates full of messages, what is the message that that horse is looking for?
And with that being said,
oh God,
you could learn more on our new Horse Speak Academy. If you go to SharonWilsey.com, we are
shameless.
Shameless.
All right, but one thing you did not mention on this chat. Horse that is vigilant is surefoot pads, folks.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So, that can help too.
Yep. So Gail, you know, a lot of times these horses, when they stand on a surefoot pad, they get grounded, and that you can then move to any environment and take that grounding with you. So I would really encourage you to check out surefoot pads with your overvigilant horse.
Absolutely. Yeah. And from the horse speak perspective, it becomes a safety object. It has positive smell. It has that positive pheromones. I think that's why horses like to smell them so much, Wendy. Especially if another horse has stepped on it.
Because they have scent glands in their frogs.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think they're actually dropping those happy hormones into, and that's why horses sometimes just smell them and go, oh, all right.
That's nice.
Right. So it fits in with their way of problem solving.
Can you move over?
Can I?
Yeah. Cause you're like, there you go. That's better.
Okay. So someone's asking, and we have a bunch of questions here. So
yeah, there's a bunch here.
Brief. What does the new Horse Speak Academy program cover? Like what kind of stuff?
All of it. There's like right now what we have offered is building your foundation, which is a 3-month program. And so that will cover a lot of the foundational skills. And then we call it the Everything Means Something, also known as the Holy Moly. And so that's a 1-year long program. And if you're interested in getting certified in horse speak, then the Holy Moly is where you should go, because there will be another level after the year program of more training in that kind of thing. So
and I do want to add that we did a phone session recently, Wendy, and she had surefoot pads out.
Oh, yes.
And she had these 2 off-track thoroughbreds in the arena. And it was great because we were able to use the pads with her for creating safety objects and just helping the horses with different. And it was neat because one horse put one hoof halfway on one pad for like a few moments. And then I was like, oh, I see what this horse is looking for from messaging. And what she wanted was matching steps with the front end, because that's the foot.
It was Miss Sue, Sue Smith.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And cool. So the pads really helped me because I've watched how horses use them to talk. And so I was able to translate what else the horse was looking for, but she would go to the pads and soothe herself. And one of the horses in the back that was loose picked up a pad
hilarious.
And threw it
and hucked it like 10 feet. I don't even know how it threw it so far.
I wonder if Sue got that on video. That would be really fun to see.
We do have it on video.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Maybe we can look at that next time. Okay. Someone's asking, what can you use when you're next to the horse leading, being dragged?
That's fun. Well, getting dragged by a horse is always a good time.
I'm going to keep it really simple. There's things you need to set up in advance. Okay. So I'm like dropping you in here, but really, if I had you, I would say, well, first, we're going to practice this and we're going to get you to this point. But here it is. So Laura's going to be the horse. We have this rope, this handy dandy rope, right? No,
it's a dog leash.
Go this way, put your arms up forward. Okay. So let's say this is hanging off of the halter. Okay. So if you have your hand, first of all, palm down, you can lead with a really light touch, light feel, because go ahead and pull away from me. I can scoop and bring, do you see that? I can scoop and bring her back. There's a lot of power because it's like a keto. It's actually a Tai Chi maneuver. Bone on bone rotation gives you a lot of strength as opposed to this pull away. She pulled me over. So as soon as it's here,
then it becomes a tug of war.
You're using muscle and that immediately actually you get defensive. Offsets your balance.
If you do this human on human,
you'll feel it.
And then you also want to pull back. Be like, you're not getting me, right, sister.
But see, now I could just bring her back. And she did. She quit. Yeah. So one of the things that's nice about this is it takes resistance out. So let's say the horse is just for giggles, resisting. They're just going, no, I'm just not going. I'm saying, okay, fine. I'm just going to hang out here. I'm not getting strained at all. This is fine. I can just hang out here all day. Dee, 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 dee. And that eventually that's what happens. They just go, okay, there's no fight. Do the pull thing again.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead. Pull for me.
No, I know. That's not what I meant.
There. Okay.
Okay. You're like laughing too hard.
Ready? Go ahead. There. All right. Do it this way.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Now it's a tug of war because it's muscle on muscle, and that's going to be a fight. So if you have a horse you're having a hard time on a lead rope, start with that. The second thing then is put your arm out. This is a theory thing, and I can't get into it all that much, but horses have a big head. We know that, right? So when horse is walking next to another horse in the vicinity of their headspace, let's say this is my head, that's her head. We're walking along. And I say, I'm going that way. I display my cheek. So that says to that horse what I'm about to do. Or I'm going this way. I look. Yeah, you need to get out of my way, right?
Okay. Wow.
So this is the directional, the cheek and the eye is what they use. So when we're a human and we're back here, there's nothing. If we're underneath the face, there's nothing happening here visually. So a lot of horses feel so much better when you keep your hand by their cheek. You can have the lead rope like this, like 6 inches long. It doesn't, not tight, because you don't want to pull
them. Even that's a foot.
Right, whatever. You can have it long, you can have it short. If you have a horse I don't want this horse to get away from me. But you put your hand by the cheek and now we're walking along and he can feel me. And if this is too close and this is too much, and then you just keep it in the air. I cannot tell you how many, this was invented for biting horses. So that's the horse that taught me, and stallions. This is fantastic for stallions who are like,
and
like
also kind of with horses that are a little bit goey, it's like noticing before it happens when the horse starts.
So let's say
getting away from you.
Let's say, first of all, I've solved the headspace problem. I said, you know what? Follow my hands. So watch what happens. I'm going to go that way. What does my hand start to do? They go, oh, I see it. Or I want to turn this way. I can just touch the cheek. Hey, I'm going to go that way. Oh, I see it. So I've given the cheek, which is what takes the direction, not the mouth. I've given the cheek information about where I'm going to be in a second because my hand is there.
And then as soon as you put your hand away, this is another put your hand away accident, then you're pulling the horse in on you.
Right. Now let's say the horse wants to get away from me and they want to pull in front. I've got this and then I can turn and go into that.
Wow.
So that's a reverse scoop.
You ninja'd me out of the way.
I ninja'd you. All right. So you're going to pull forward again. So
I don't have much room to go.
I can scoop here. Bring this hand here. I'm on a rolly chair too, but
I know, but
and I can scoop into see what that did to the head? So there's this, power in the scooping that you don't get any other way. And it's physics.
Yep. That's good.
Okay.
If you do it fast, so you catch it and turn it real fast, it also doesn't make them feel threatened and it doesn't make them feel punished. You just say, oh, excuse me.
Yep.
And then they.
Let me just say, though, that you're making that look super easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is, though. It
requires solid grounding with your feet.
You have to be, you know what though? If you do this with your palm, your feet get grounded.
Yeah.
Because when, this is another thing, a chiropractor taught me this a million years ago. When you go here, you're triggering your nervous system to be in fight or flight mode, duck, dodge, roll, all kinds of things like that. Your feet are going to do this. The moment you go here, your feet go and they ground out also.
And we have a Morgan named Luna, who if we trusted her to pull a cart, she would be a great pulling horse because she is powerful and she has accordion round pen because she moved it. Okay. So with that being said, I can lead four horses at the same
including her,
and just use a slight scoop
from a distance.
Because even if she gets further away from me and what have you, I can use that scoop and stop her and also turn her to me. And this horse, it's
very powerful.
Yeah.
So it's surprisingly easy. It does take a little bit of practice.
It takes some skill set for sure, you know, but it's definitely.
I just want people to realize that.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when you're in that situation at that moment and you haven't practiced the skill, it's not always easy to implement.
No.
And don't wait to the moment. What we always say is don't practice it when you need it.
Yeah.
that's what I'm trying to say here. Okay. Yeah. I'm watching you guys and I just know that it's something that you need to practice
when
things are calm to get your chops down so that when you need it, it happens.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Going on. We have lots of comments here. So
I know it.
What to do with a horse that pins her ears during the greeting phase? What do you do?
That would be why is the horse pinning their ears? Are they insecure? Did somebody hit them in the face at some point in their life? Do they have pain in their body? Do they have mouth problems? Do they have ulcers?
Yeah. Because if you're in too much of an X posture, depending on the horse, you could be driving them by accident because your shoulders are back and you're just walking right up to them and they could be like, whoa, that's a lot of energy. So on approach, noticing if the horse, as soon as there's a change in their facial expression, tail swish, anything, stop. And take a step back. You've reached the bubble
down
of
the
personal
approach.
Space.
And then the thing is, if you do get in to here, by the time you're greeting a horse and they're hesitant about the greeting for any reason, if you're just greeting in the air and you complete the greeting. So if you're here and you're like, I don't know what you're going to do. What it makes the horse do is follow you.
Yeah.
And so now
sometimes they get like,
what are you doing with your weird fish hand there? Just commit. So if you get up to them and you're like, and then you're done, it's just going to be
quick,
one and done. And if the horse might bite you, then just don't touch them, just and be done. Just do it in the air and don't. When they have the ear pinning stuff, they're insecure. They've got discomfort going on. They're displacing and they're just like, I want to greet you, but I got all this stuff in my head.
Okay. What is your experience with a horse that bobs its head and seems to prelude a charge? It was something I saw in several Mustang makeover videos when initially working to touch the horse. What would be your action to relieve the tension?
Where are we? We're way up.
Cause this is like 16.
Prelude to charge.
125.
Something I saw in several Mustang when initially working to touch the horse, would you actually relieve the tension? Okay. That's a loaded gun question.
Yeah.
So I would be with a Mustang on the other side of the barrier, gaining their trust and confidence from the other side of the barrier, because that sets up artificial bubbles for them and for me, where I can generate curiosity and interest and trust from the other side of the barrier. And I can get them to want to come and be connected to me. And that's because when you learn their language, Mustangs especially are really fond of being spoken to in the way they already understand. So it's going to take time with a Mustang. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to take time. But what we found, and Lucinda's on here, she could speak to it, because that's one of her specialities, is it cuts the time in half. It just cuts it way down.
You have to rebuild the trust with a Mustang, because depending on what happened during the roundup, they have, they're way more reactive than a domestic horse.
So the beauty of this is I worked with a Mustang from 50 feet away, who was pregnant, and she was by herself. They'd gotten her, and she was in this isolette and all this kind of stuff. And she was like, yeah, people are octopus. I don't want anything to do with you. I worked with her from 50 feet away 3 days in a row. By the last day I came to the fence, I walked straight in. She came over and greeted me. So they will choose to have companionship rather than isolation, because they're a herd animal. And if you show up like a herd animal and you don't pop the bubble, then they start coming into your, they start asking questions. Can I come into your bubble? And then everything else is so much easier. So that's my answer.
And then Miss Karen, actually, that her comment from earlier is also is great in response to this. I've had a few horses recently work hard to teach me to slow down and wait for a response from them, that they needed more time to process what was happening, particularly, to show them that I see what they see.
And then she said fun.
So it's really important to notice like all of the little changes in the horse's body language as we are in their presence, because everything means something in relationship to us.
I also want to say that there's a problem solving thing that's a generic, because it covers many, many things. Horses like to make a safety poop. When they feel safe, they make a poop, and if it's a safe poop, it has nice pheromones in it. But we've been able to realize that they also take, let's say, that rock is my safety rock. That side of the barn, that spot right there, that's my safety place, right? This is my thing. So we've been able to say, well, let's take a little traffic cone and say, that's a safety object. And like we were saying, the surefoot pads become a safety object for them. But I was thinking, if a horse is standing on their surefoot pads and you put a cone in front of them while they're at it, so they're associating the cone with the pads, because they don't always want to, if you're walking a horse somewhere, you don't always want to have the, go to the next pad, you know, that's not always, but you could transfer.
That actually does work. You can set out circles of pads and they will associate.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's a good way to have them say, let's go to the next thing that you want to be at.
So somebody's asking what surefoot pads are good for. They're relaxation, confidence, improved balance, better performance. Anytime you want your horse more grounded, more secure, and more stable, and also associating that comfort with you. So that's one of the things that's so unique about surefoot is they go, you brought me this really nice thing. I want to be with you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when is the third book coming out?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking it. And we actually just received the proof of it yesterday. So that what that means is that the book is currently in book layout form. And basically we have to read it and make sure it's all kosher and answer some little minute questions. And then it's going to get back to the publisher and they're going to ship it out to get printed. So with that being said, due to COVID and all these things, we're hoping by fall, because of shipping and all that stuff, everything's just been delayed and the Trafalgar's doing their best to get, you know, these books produced. But it's all up in the air in regards to shipping and that kind of stuff.
And you're writing a book, right, Wendy?
I have the Surefoot workbook almost finished. We're in layout right now. I'm self-publishing. And the Surefoot book is still in writing. It's still in editing. But I'm hoping that'll be out this year. I'm hoping if I can't find a publisher, I'll self-publish it. So it'll get out one way or the other. Let's see. There was something here. My beloved mare died suddenly yesterday. And though I am doing my best to be a comfort to her best friend and pair bonded mare, I feel so completely heartbroken that she is comforting me, which is fine. Yet I so want to be a reciprocal as we heal together. I know I need to be honest in my body language and communication, but want her to know how special she is to me also, since my lead mare was my everything for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that sharing grief is normal. And I don't think there's like, you have to be some kind of stoic Wonder Woman, you know, like I don't have no
grief. I have no feelings.
I'm here for you. And horses expect grief. Like they, yeah. they don't hold, we're the ones that are like, oh my God, I'm having grief. And they're like, yeah, I'm sad.
I mean, we've seen a lot of different experiences with horses grieving their friends.
Yeah.
Whether the horse is standing over the other horse, or we actually had this amazing opportunity on our club videos to see a horse that had passed away and the other horse was pulling at its follow me button to help them get up, like, get up, come on, we gotta go. And it was just like, they didn't understand, obviously, they just wanted, you know, help their friend get off the ground. But unfortunately, the horse had passed away. So it's amazing to see these kinds of things with the horses or even other animals. We had a little thing of baby raccoons and all this, and they were trying to help the dead one across the street, and because it had gotten hit by the car. So,
but I think the bottom line is that animals, especially in herds, they support each other.
Yeah.
So it's, if your horse is helping you, then it's probably helping her to help you.
Yeah, and just even talking out loud and be like, I am so sad that, you know, this mare is gone,
we can share it together.
Yeah.
And we do have a webinar with Laura Plunkett talking about dealing with death of an animal, and also Joyce Harmon talking about making that decision. So we do have another webinar that's, just go and look at the Laura Plunkett playlist and watch that webinar.
Laura's cool.
Yeah. My Joyce's horse passed this past summer. We always take our horses over to say goodbye. And it's fascinating because they will waffle. Some of them more so than others will waffle around and smell the horse. And then it's like, you can see when they realize it's done. So if you ever have an animal die, I would just say, if you have the opportunity to let the other animals go over to see the horse that has passed, I think it's very, very healing for them. They can acknowledge their friends are gone.
I noticed this one. I just got my first two sets of pads. Any advice on combining horse speak and surefoot? You know, what comes to me is that if you're familiar with some horse speak, and you're using some surefoot, here's where I'm going to go with you, because I know you're pretty familiar. What a great opportunity to talk to the horse about what they're experiencing they're sharing, like, what they're feeling and what they're doing, and the nuances are not lost on you. So I think it's an interesting thing to be open to exploring with the horse. And this is what, you know, Wendy and I, when we started hanging out together, is because horses got on these pads and said, well, it's a whole new day. And they started trying to share more of themselves with the person. And then look at Wendy, like, you're the new day lady. You gave me a whole new day and I'm just going to love you forever. So I think that horses want to share, like we talk about the grief experience, but they also want to share the joy experience. And I think pads can often make them feel joy or alleviate pain, which is a big deal.
Yes. Also, I was wanting to actually look at the question above that question. So my mare only wants to be touched at the hind end backs. Then she starts relaxing, yawning, and licking. If I want to touch any of the other buttons, she grinds and puts her ears back. Mm-hmm. So I go immediately in withdrawal. How can I change this? I think she is a joker. Thank you.
Okay. So we're looking at the outcome. The outcome is that she says, when you touch the hind end buttons, I feel good. So that can that can mean a lot of things. The hind end tends to store or represent the emotional world of the horse, because the tail does things in relation to what they're feeling. Stuck emotions tend to get stuck in the pelvis. Just like us, we have the same system. So she's feeling something when you're back there. And then when you come up front, she's feeling something else. She's having a different experience. So her red zone is in the front part of her body. So then it would be like, well, I wonder why. Do her teeth hurt? Mm-hmm. Did she get hit in the face? Does she have a head injury? Does she have, you know, somebody shank her? Does somebody something happen around her head where she feels defensive? But when you're near her hind end, you're helping her release defensiveness and uncomfortable feelings. So the quick answer, I don't know the horse, I don't know you, I don't know what you guys are doing. But the quick answer is to get something lengthy. That's why I like the Linda Tellington Jones wands. And just start stroking her, but only downhill stroking, not like this, or not even touching a button, but just so you can do it in the air. We've used peacock feathers for this. They seem to really like something electric about the peacock feather, and just some downhill stroking to show, to prove, I mean you no harm, and I want to work this through with you, but you're not up there risking getting hurt, number one, and also invading. So if she's feeling a little invaded by you in the bubble up front, then you can just do it with a wand. And I have a lot of horses that you bring out a wand and they go, okay, that's fine then.
Yeah. And I think the distance is one of the big keys.
Yeah. And also watching where your core is pointing, depending on how sensitive the horse is. If we go full on, it could be, you know, too much energy. So working from the side, having our shoulder toward the horse and rounding around ourselves and practicing the two-handed sign language to be able to notice. And also,
well, here. What? Put your hands out in front.
Okay.
So if I come in, if I have this kind of contact with this hand towards the horse, my core is this way. But if I come in and have this hand touch the horse, everything is on. So just knowing which flipper am I using? This flipper keeps me out of the problem. And I can block. So bring your head towards me quick. I can block. Okay. If I've got this flipper, I'm all in. So you could just get me because I'm in. Okay. So
then you start flipping and then that's frantic. And then they're like, So then it gets all crazy.
Which flipper are you using?
All right. Lori said the Ida hammer is my beloved trimmer and I'm brand new to horse speak. I have a super curious, super playful draft cross. What's the best way to get started with horse speak?
Wow.
breathe.
Yeah.
Really, the best thing you can start is take conscious breathing around the horse. This is your O posture. Breathe, be in your O posture, see what happens. And then if you need some space, bring your hands into X, breathe, see what happens. Step away in between the two things. So taking the time to notice, does their head go up? Does their head go down? Do they go to their X is a high head. Their O is a low head. If they do deep breathing and you're doing deep breathing, deep, soft breathing creates relaxed feelings. Are they doing heavy breathing? That's a more intense feeling. So the best place to start is noticing me and then noticing the other. So I need to body scan myself. What do I feel? When I get close to this horse, I actually get butterflies in my stomach, not the good kind, the nervous kind, but I'm ignoring those because I'm not going to show that. I'm going to get up close. And now the horse is like, I'm going to eat you. And I was like, oh, I should listen to those butterflies. Or I'm getting up close and the horse is bringing their face in. And I think, he wants me, but he's making a nasty face. Hi, you must want me because your face is so close, right? So trusting your body scan is really important to trust yourself. And that's how horses are trying to get us to understand them. That's all they've got. They're playing charades all the time. So going slower and breathing and noticing and then noticing them, noticing yourself. That's where it starts, is just actually starts with us.
Yeah.
Well, and she also means it's like starting with your book. You have two books.
That's the way I took it too. And she went on a tangent. So there, I hope that gal did take some notes of that shotgun of information. But yes, starting with the book, we do have a DVD as well. It's called First Conversation. So it's a DVD as well. You can get it streaming through Trafalgar, right. Horse and Rider Books. That's actually a really great visual study because Sharon talks to three different horses. One's hesitant, one's outgoing, and one is stoic, so that you can see her navigate through her X's and O's and using her hands and her feet to communicate so that they are full on listening to her. And so then that's like more of like visually seeing the mechanics. The book is a great way to go. Horse Speak, the Equine Human Translation Guide, joining the Academy.
The club
is also a great way to learn too. So if you do
join. We have a lot of fun. It's kind of like this.
Yeah, it's kind of like this every week. And Connie, I just came upon the chat. I am so sorry to hear that was you. I didn't realize it was you when Rendy read that comment. So we know Miss Connie. So that's, we're really sad to hear that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right. So one more question. I think this will probably take us to the end here. Can you give a little more info on how a horse moving its head away is an invitation to move in, and the difference between a lean away being a sign of being uncomfortable?
Again, this comes back to body scanning. So you got to read it because they feel totally different. Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying to her, come on in, come on in. Is that feeling? If I'm saying to her, and then as she thinks this means come in, so start coming in. What are you doing? Okay.
I have to say that your facial expressions are priceless.
It's all about the entertainment and edutainment factor of this whole thing.
But you know, you're so right about that, in that we subtly do this with each other all the time. And I think the more we recognize that this is, we do it unconsciously, but it's insidious. We're constantly maneuvering space around each one of us. And COVID has shown us how much we have to maneuver in bigger bubbles, right?
Absolutely.
I think it's actually been a good training experience for horse people, because mm-hmm. you realize, wow, some bubbles are really big, or you start to get that, I got to get out of here feeling. And that's how horses feel a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like with COVID, we're now a prey animal.
We've always been a prey animal. We're just realizing it.
We're aware of it now. Yeah. Now we're just
that also reflects the chessboard concept. Because now if you go into a store and it's packed with people, that's a weird chessboard. And you're like, how do I problem solve?
Yeah. And you're like, okay,
how do I problem solve? Get my stuff and getting out of here really quick. So that sensation of, well, outside I felt fine, but in here I don't anymore. That's what a horse goes through with every new environment they're in. So it's a way for us to check in with that too.
Yeah. So I think it's been great because it's heightened our awareness of space, of communication, things that we took for granted or just ignored before. And it's really, if we could use that as a learning experience to go, what am I feeling in this moment when I walk into this space, and how am I reacting to that, and how am I positioning? Then we have a really clear idea of what horses are doing on a daily basis. And then how can we use that information to use that same kind of concept in a larger space of an outdoor arena or a barn or a field, right? Because we feel it when we're more confined, but they're operating in that in any space.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
And it's just fascinating too, now with COVID, is like how we unfortunately are getting more defensive too toward people, because we have this fear factor is coming up inside of us. And so we're like, don't even come near me, you know, or I can't go down that aisle. Someone else is there. They have cooties, you know, we have to like run the other way.
All right. Well, I think this is a great comment to end with. You said you gals are all great. Thanks for being willing to be real and not afraid to reveal who you really are. Or what? That's a compliment.
Oh, someone raised a hand.
We have to finish, actually. It's unfortunate. We're sorry that we haven't been able to get through all of the comments during the seminar.
We got pretty close.
But thank you for everyone being so active.
Emily likes the DVD.
Oh, yay. Good.
I know the DVD came out right when DVDs weren't in anymore.
Yeah.
Like right when Blu-ray started coming out, was like when the DVD
out. Everything switched to streaming.
Streaming. But you can stream you can get your DVD streaming, right? It's at
Turtle. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So if you go to, what is it? Horse and Rider Books.
Horseandriderbooks.com.
And if I can type horseandriderbooks.com.
And then we have our website. My
DVDs are out there streaming as well for riding.
Oh, Lori's from Ida Hammer.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's great.
I did say that.
went over my head.
Find out more about you at SharonWoolsey.com, right?
Yep, I just threw that in the chat. So check us out. We have a lot of different learning capabilities for you to learn the many nuances of horse speak. So we look forward to meeting you at one of our platforms. It's going to be great.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. I have to run because I got to go do a surefoot demo at a equine fitness facility this afternoon.
Excellent.
Oh, how fun. Woo. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, darling. Well, nice to speak with you.
Yeah. As always, we'll have you come back soon. Yay.
Yeah.
Got to keep this rolling. Obviously, there was a lot of interest and great questions. Thank you, everybody, for typing in the chat.
I appreciate that. The last thing that I want to end on is last time when we got to talk about elephants, I thought about that for weeks.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, weeks. I was like, and then this elephant did this, and then it's just like a horse. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. She was freaking out.
Yep. So if you haven't seen that one, just go to the playlist on surefootequine.com, look up Sharon Wilsey and Horse Speak, and you can watch all the webinars.
Awesome.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. Have a great day.
Take care, everyone. Be well.